A reading from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 and 15 to end. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he mocked the Jews. He said in the presence of his associates and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burnt ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "That stone wall they are building, any fox going up on it would break it down. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their taunt back on their own heads, and give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt, and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have hurled insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. When our enemies heard that their plot was known to us and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and body armor, and the leaders posted themselves behind the whole house of Judah, who were building the wall. The burden bearers carried their loads in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and with the other held a weapon. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread out, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Rally to us whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night inside Jerusalem, so that they may be guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me ever took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon in his right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Can you hear me? No? Yes. Good morning. Morning. How are we? Can you hear me? Shall we pray before we delve into God's word? Father God, it is great to learn about you. Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, that we would hear you speaking to us, and Lord, that you would call us to action. Amen. It is good to be here on this sunny morning. Let's do a quick recap as to where we are in the story of Nehemiah. For those who can remember, Nehemiah has heard from his brother that the walls and the gates in the city of Jerusalem are destroyed. Nehemiah is sad, so he goes to the king and says, let me go back and help my people rebuild our city. The king lets him, and Nehemiah sets out on his journey and heads back to Jerusalem. He spends a couple of days looking around at the walls, planning what to do, and then he and the Jews start rebuilding. We then get to chapter 3, like last week, and it lists out all the different people who helped build the wall, what they did and where they did it. And then we get to chapter 4. We've just heard the work to rebuild the wall has started, but we get introduced to two people who oppose the rebuilding work. And chapter 4 is all about opposition and how Nehemiah and the people of God overcame that opposition. Now, in reading the story so far in Nehemiah, we've got a little idea as to his character, and there is a lot that we can learn from this guy. Firstly, Nehemiah's heart was in tune, was set close to God's heart. When Nehemiah heard that Jerusalem, the center of the Jewish nation, the place that Nehemiah's ancestors had built and where they had lived, the place where God dwelt, was in ruins, Nehemiah wept. He wasn't just sad, he was distraught, inconsolable. Now, Nehemiah had not been to Jerusalem. He had only heard and read about it, but he longed for his people to return there, to be reunited with their God, to live in peace. And this is what God wants. Nehemiah wanted what God wanted. Second, his default position was to pray. When he heard that Jerusalem was in ruins, he prayed. When he asked the king if he could return to Jerusalem to help to rebuild it, Nehemiah prayed. When opposition came against him, he prayed. He was fully reliant on God at all times and in all places. He knew God was with him and that all he had to do was to turn to God and to trust in him. Thirdly, he knew his scriptures. His prayers to God were full of phrases like, "You remember your agreement with us," and "Remember what you said to your servant Moses." He knew God because he knew what God had done for his people. And fourthly, he was a practical man. He was hands-on. He got things done. Yes, he was reliant on God. His default position was to pray, but he did not sit back and wait for God to answer his prayer. He did not wait for God to do the work. Nehemiah's prayers were always followed by action. So Nehemiah's heart was in tune with God's. He was a man of prayer. He knew his Bible, and he got things done. That is the hero of our story. So we join the story in chapter 4. Nehemiah started the people off in rebuilding the walls, and we are introduced to two people called Sanballat and Tobiah, and they are the baddies. Sanballat was governor of a place called Samaria, and Jerusalem, the city, was in Samaria. Jerusalem was in Sanballat's patch. As far as Sanballat was concerned, he was the boss. Jerusalem was his, and he was in charge. He had the power, he had the authority. He liked how things were done, and he didn't want them to change. These Jews returning to their city to rebuild it were a threat. They would upset the balance. They would challenge the status quo. Change how things were done. So Sanballat did what we often try to do when we feel a bit threatened. He tried to stop it. This is a good place to pause, to take a breath and think. We are looking to embark on a building project here at St. Anne's. It may change how we do some things. It may challenge what we do. It may challenge some of the things that we hold as important. We have a choice. We can oppose like Sanballat, or we can pray and align ourselves with God's heart. You don't have to read too much of the Bible to figure out that God is interested in doing new things. He doesn't stay still. He wants us to follow him on a journey. If all we want to do is keep things the same, to stay in the same place, doing the same things, then we will get left behind. This is true in our lives as it is in the church. Think about the story that we're reading. You can see it clearly with Nehemiah. He started out as cupbearer to the king. Then God called him to be a traveler, then to be a builder, then to be a project manager, then to be a leader of God's people. God kept moving Nehemiah forward, and Nehemiah followed God into new things. But always, Nehemiah's character stayed the same. He always aligned his heart with God's. His default position was always to pray. He knew his Bible, and he always moved to action. It is the same with church. The heart of our worship stays the same, but how we do worship changes. It moves forward. It tries new things. God calls his church on corporately, just as he does each one of us individually. Think about this. If Nehemiah had stayed cupbearer to the king and only prayed for Jerusalem, and that would have been an easy decision to justify, but I've done my bit, I've prayed for it. If Nehemiah had only prayed, then the walls of Jerusalem would not have been rebuilt. And if he'd not followed God in leading the people, the Jewish people, then they would not have returned and been restored with their God. If Nehemiah had not followed God as God called him to new things, the restoration of God's people would not have taken place. And it is the same for us. God is calling us, not just to a life of prayer, not just to a routine of Sunday mornings, but he is calling us on a journey. He is calling us to action. He is calling us to challenge, and he is calling us to life. Let's get back to the story. Sanballat and Tobiah hear that the Jews have returned and are rebuilding their city of Jerusalem. They are furious. So they oppose what the Jews are doing. And they do this in a number of ways. First, they use words. They mock what the Jews are doing. They use sarcasm. They ridicule. They bully. They lie. We read in the first few verses, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his friends and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from that heap of rubble, burned as they are?" And Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they doing? Even a fox climbing up on the wall would break it down." And their words are cunning. They have an impact. They make the people stop to question, to doubt. And they do this because, yes, they are lies, but they are also a little bit true. All the best lies are half-truths. You are fooled into believing them because there is a little bit of truth in there that masks the lie. The Jews were feeble builders. They couldn't build it all in one day. There is a chance they wouldn't complete it at all. The whole task is too big for them. All of these words had the purpose of discouragement and doubt. And discouragement is such a powerful weapon because it is the opposite of faith. Faith believes in God. It believes his love and promises, but discouragement looks for and believes the worst. But the thing is, as the Jews focus on discouragement and start to believe Sanballat's words, they miss the greatest truth, that God was with them, and all things with God are possible. It is the same for us. We will face opposition. There is no denying it. There's no getting around it. It is a fact. It is important that we recognize it for what it is. Do you know who opposes the will of God? It is the devil. You see, we are stuck in the middle of a big struggle. Every time God's will is done, the devil is there trying to stop it. Like Sanballat, he is threatened as God's will is done. He is threatened because he has no authority to stop the work. All he can do is use words, lies, and threats. You see, Nehemiah and the Jews were rebuilding the wall under the authority of the king. Sanballat and Tobiah had no authority to stop the work. It is the same for us. If we are living in the will of God, living out our call, then we are doing it under God's authority. And the devil has no power over us. All he can do is lie. And it is important that we recognize the lie. Nehemiah recognized the lie. And his first response, he prayed. It was in his nature. It was his default position. And he relied fully on the power of God in all things and all situations. "Hear us, our God, for we are despised," he prays. I paraphrase it, but "be with us, Lord," he says. It is hard. It does seem impossible. And maybe they're right. But we turn to you and we have faith that you will succeed. And God does help them, not in any big supernatural way, not with lightning bolts, no miracles, but God gives the people a heart for the task. And we read, "So we rebuilt the wall till it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." Needless to say, Sanballat and Tobiah were not happy. They were even more angry than before, and they plotted to attack the Jews with physical violence. Now, this was a credible threat. They had armies and influence over the people of Judah. So much so that when the people heard the threats, they started to wonder again whether they could complete the task. The people said, "The strength of the laborers, our strength, is giving out. And there is so much rubble that we can't rebuild the wall." They started to lose faith. They took their eyes off God and started to focus on the situation. It's easy to do. It's easy for us to look around us, see the reasons why we can't do something, and just give up. "I can't stand at the front and read. I'm not good enough to pray at the front. I couldn't invite them to church." It's not easy to act. It's not easy to step out. It's not easy to move forward. But if we don't, there is a chance that God may move on without us. Nehemiah didn't lose sight of God. Nehemiah's focus never wavered, and through him, the people continued to pray to God to recognize that he would help them through the situation. But Nehemiah also knew that prayer was not the whole answer. They needed action. They needed to do something and not just wait. You see, our prayer does not replace the need for our action. Our prayer makes our actions effective for God. I'll say it again. Our prayer does not replace the need for our action. Prayer makes our actions effective for God. Often the only way that God will work is through us, his people. He needs us to step out, to trust him, to follow his lead. He calls us, but we need to get up and follow. So Nehemiah, not just happy to pray, sets up defenses against the attack. He sets guards, they had weapons, they have shields, and it is the same for us now. We are God's people, and he is calling us to build his church. And it can be a struggle. It's easy to get discouraged, easy to listen to others, easy to listen to critics and bullies, easy to join in being critical. But we must guard against it. We must pray. We have to guard ourselves. In the New Testament, Paul writes a passage in the book of Ephesians about being able to defend ourselves against the struggle that we have in this world, putting on the armor of God. It is slightly strange, but it is the truth. Here in Liverpool today, it is not the threat of physical violence that we struggle against, but we do struggle in ourselves. There is a struggle going on, and we need to keep our eyes on God at all times. So, what have we learned from Nehemiah so far? How can I sum this up? Well, God calls us on a journey. We are not called to stay still. We are not called to keep doing the same things. We are called on a journey. When we follow God on this journey, we will face opposition. People and situations will challenge us. We will struggle. It will not be plain sailing. Keep your focus on God. Turn to him in prayer. It is an amazing gift. Prepare yourself and be ready to face the struggle. Read the Bible. You see, it's easy for us to believe the lie, to think that there isn't a God, or it doesn't matter if I don't go to church, or I don't need to do this new thing because there's plenty of other people who are way more qualified than me to do it. But I tell you, God doesn't call us to the easy life, as nice as it would be if he did. He calls us to follow him, to move to action, to try new things, to step out. And if you feel even a little bit that God is calling you, then you are not too old. You are not too young. There is not somebody more qualified. You are good enough. I know this because it is God who is calling you, and it is God who will be with you. But it is up to you to act. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for Nehemiah. Lord, we thank you for what we can learn from him. And so, Lord, I pray that you would keep us close to you. Keep our hearts in line with you. Keep us praying, Lord. Help us to defend ourselves and to stay righteous, stay living the way you want us to live. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us as you call us forward. And as we follow you. Amen.